saw me change up. This, to me, is an amazing story. We're joined right now by a heavyweight boxer. Much more than that, but a heavyweight boxer who is 12-0. All 12 wins by knockout. He defeated Stephen Lyons by first round KO on July 10th. He is a former University of Miami basketball player, a former University of Miami football player. He averaged 11 points per game as a senior basketball player at the U. We are joined by Rafael Akpajori. Rafael, good to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing very well, Mr. Rome. How are you?
Good, good. It's nice to talk to you. So it's been about a week and a half since you beat Stephen Lyons with that first round KO in Miami. Take me back to that night. How pleased were you with that performance and with that win? How would you grade yourself?
I have a very tough coach, Blaine Johnson, the Road Warrior, former light heavyweight champion of the world. I believe it was IBO and IBF light heavyweight champion of the world, and he's known for beating Roy Jones by knockout back in 2004. So if I'm going to judge myself by the eyes of my coach, I'll give myself a B+, being that I listened to the instructions that he gave and I carried out the game plan. By my own standards, I try to get people out of there as quickly as possible via knockout. And, I took too long to get my knockout, which, I'll give myself a B+ for that also.
Well, man, you did get him out in the first round. Like how quickly were you looking to get him out if it took too long?
2 minutes is a good standard in boxing. You know, the longer you're in that square circle, the more dangerous it gets. So you always want to get a man out of there quicker than normal because, the ring is a dangerous place and you don't want to stay too long in that place.
Rafael Akpajori.
My status is great.
I get that. I understand that. All right, so you've had 12 professional fights, as I mentioned. All 12 have ended by knockout. As you told Sky Sports after that last fight, quote, "It's pretty evident that when I touch people, they kind of go to sleep," end of quote. So how would you describe your punching power, and how big of a weapon is that power?
It's a weapon that has developed over the course of time. I went through my amateur career, a very brief one, actually, with a lot of knockouts, but I had a refined power then. So when I kind of linked up with Coach Glenn Johnson, he's kind of refined in a way where it's more technical. We watch guys like Deontay Wilder throw the right hand. We watch guys like Vladimir Klitschko, the way they throw the right hand. We watch guys like Errol Spence, the way they throw the right hand. So we add a little more technique to it. So now it's more of a beautiful thing than just a raw power. Now we call it a heat-seeking missile. That does not miss. And when he touches you, like I said, it's pretty evident that you will go to sleep. And so we shall be.
This is awesome. I'm really enjoying this conversation already. Let me put it to you another way. At the same time, and you laid this out, it's not just about the power, right? There's so much more to it. Quote, as Anthony Joshua says, the right hand can take you around the block, but the jab can take you around the world. That is an absolute truth in boxing. End of quote. Can you lay that out for me? What do you mean by that?
The jab is the first and the most important punch in boxing. The jab is a setup punch. The jab is a throwaway punch. The jab is a punishing punch. The jab is a frustrating punch. So if you can constantly keep a jab out of a man's face, that prevents him from thinking. That keeps you on offense and keeps you on defense. When you're tired, you can use the jab. When you're trying to disguise punches, you use the jab to disguise punches. One of the coaches here in Miami, Florida, Coach Dino, he coaches he's the head man at the Fifth Street Boxing Gym. He told me a man who throws 50 jabs a punch a round. Will be a multimillionaire. Just look at Lennox Lewis, So the jab will definitely take you around the world. The jab disguises. The jab is the best punch for boxing, and the most important punch for boxing. And that's the basis of every coach teaches, and that's the basis of boxing. The jab.
Part of me is a little disappointed that you just referenced Lennox Lewis because I literally was going to do it next. Rafael, I was going to say to you that three questions into this conversation, you were already my favorite heavyweight since Lennox, and I loved Lennox. I loved having him on the show. I loved talking boxing with him. My man was so thoughtful and so smart, and in that way, you remind me of him, and you literally beat me to the punch, no pun intended. I was going to mention Lennox. Now, after the win over Lions, you called out Tyson Fury and Dillian Whyte. I understand you wanting those opportunities. I understand that your progression in this sport has been absolutely amazing. Do you feel like you're ready to step up to that competition right now?
That's a question that I truly believe that I am ready to step up to that level of competition. The truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, it's Glenn Johnson's call to actually make that decision. I believe that I can take those guys right now because of their styles, not because of their experience per se. Dillian Whyte is a guy who's a tough guy. I fare well against tough guys. He believes he's a body puncher. I fare well against guys like that. And, you know, he's a little shorter than I am, so I can always use the reach on him. Tyson Fury is about my height, a little shorter. He's graduating to a position where he is starting to, you know, use his weight and slow his feet down. I fare well against guys like that. Now, Tyson Fury is going to be a little trickier because he's more of a ring general. You know, he knows how to use the ring very well. And, you know, I would need a little bit more work for me to get on his level, maybe 3 to 6 months, you know. So, I believe I'm ready for that competition, that level of competition. At the end of the day, you know, my coach, Glenn Johnson, makes that call. And I'm going to do what I can in training and in practice and in sparring to prove to him that I'm ready for that.
All right, so in a vacuum, this in and of itself is an amazing conversation about you and your boxing and your plans. But for those who do not know, they need to understand the journey that you have taken to get to this spot. If we were to go back, you've been a great, great athlete your entire life. In fact, Frank Haith recruited you to play basketball in Miami. Now, when you were playing at Miami, what did you think your future was going to be? Were you thinking about professional basketball?
Absolutely not. You know, at that time in my life, when I came to the United States when I was 17 years old on a basketball scholarship, you know, I came into the Basketball Without Borders route, the Michael Jordan Brand Classic route, you know, through Masai Ujiri, who's the current president of the Toronto Raptors. So, obviously, at that time, the NBA was my dream, my goal, and my aspiration. You know, Frank Haith, my man, I respect him, I love him, amazing individual. He was my coach who brought me to University of Miami. I did not think I was going to do anything else with basketball, you know, but, you know, as life goes on, you know, you have to be able and willing to switch your dreams, you know, because at the end of the day, you created those dreams and things come from time to time and you should be able to, you know, find ways to evolve in terms of your dreams and your aspirations and where you're trying to go. So, from basketball, we moved on to football, played football. We had an absolute blast. I made a lot of friends. I made a lot of connections with the University of Miami football team and Al Golden and Coach Mark D'Onofrio. You know, went to the Miami Dolphins for training camp. You know, that was an absolute, that was an amazing time in my life in training camp with the Miami Dolphins. I didn't make the final 53, but, you know, I would never trade that experience for anything. Then boxing started. And boxing has brought me here to be on your show, and we hope to keep it moving from here.
It's incredible, right? And there's still more, though. And this should come as no surprise to anybody listening. At the same time, the story goes that you were earning a mechanical engineering degree. I remember when I went to school, the mechanical engineers that I knew, all brilliant. I'm curious, what kind of things were you studying? And were you thinking at any point that your future was going to be as a mechanical engineer and not as an athlete?
I mean, growing up in Nigeria, you know, your parents don't care about sports. They only care about education. And fortunately and unfortunately, they kind of pick your major for you. You know, you're either going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. Those are the three main professions to pick from. I also happened that my parents picked engineering for me and kind of tuned my mind into that. You know, I went to school. It was a good time. You know, my undergrad was relatively easy. My grad school mechanical engineering was the worst. You know, I think I was depressed in that period of time because I saw courses that I never thought or imagined existed. You know, going through differential equations, thermodynamics, heat exchangers, you know, all levels of mathematics, all levels of physics, as, you know, the amateurs know it. you know, all levels of aerodynamics, you know, aero propulsion, jet engines, you know, learning everything about everything. You know, that was a great time, man, you know. Actually, having you remind me of all of that right now kind of takes me back to depression mode, because those are things that, you know, those are things that put me in a bad mood back in the day just studying for them. But I'm actually grateful I did. You know, I graduated from University of Miami with a bachelor's in mechanical engineering, a master's in mechanical engineering, and a bachelor's degree in economics. So, you know, it was a fun time of education. You know, I absolutely loved it. You know, grateful for it.
My man, I'm sorry to depress you, but you are the most interesting man in the world right now. So if you had gone to your parents back in the day and your parents said to you, listen, Rafael, here are your choices. You can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor, you can be a rocket scientist, or you can be an engineer. If you countered with, I choose heavyweight boxer, what would they have said?
They would have said absolutely no. You know, my dad would probably say, oh, that's cool, because he was a big fan of Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas, and Evander Holyfield. You know, my dad would have probably, you know, maybe given me a side eye to tell me that, okay, maybe you could, you know, try boxing, but don't tell your mom. But my mother would have absolutely said no to that, you know. My mother would probably tell me to be a medical doctor, to be able to treat all types of ailments. And, you know, I think that was how it would have happened back in the day.
See, the thing is, though, like, I'm not even sure that it's too late for that. I still have a feeling that maybe you could keep climbing the ranks and you can get that belt around your waist one day and you could still achieve all those goals. You could still be a doctor. Listen, before you go, you mentioned Glenn Johnson a few times. Yeah. That's a former world champion. Very clearly, you hold him in high regard and you're taking a lot of your leads from him. Like, what have you learned from him specifically?
With Glenn Johnson, you know, he didn't come up the traditional boxing way where, you know, you come in, you have a manager, you'll be protected through the politics of boxing. You know, he came up through the grind and pound way of boxing. You know, he fought everybody. He fought them in their backyards. He was cheated before he finally broke through against Clinton Woods in England. Actually, he was cheated the first time he came in and, you know, reasserted his dominance the second time. Then before he came back to the United States with the belt. He was basically the B-side opponent of the Roy Jones fight before he knocked him out. And he fought Tarver, you know, which kind of cemented his legacy as a road warrior. So with Glenn Johnson, you know, he teaches you the road warrior mentality, which is, you know, regardless of what happened, there's a job that needs to be done. However you feel, it's very relevant. You know, boxing is a sport where only the winner takes all. And it's a very brutal sport with brutal mentalities, and you have to be able to live with that. You know, regardless of how you feel, come around and do your work. You know, do the job, and we'll talk about the feelings later. You know, so that's kind of what I've learned from Glenn Johnson. Glenn Johnson is the right person to put that mindset in you. I mean, other coaches will probably teach you the technicalities of the sport, how you throw a right hand out, throw a jab. But Glenn would bring you into the ring, the mentality of the ring, how you're going to feel, how every fight is not going to be the way you drew it out, but you have to come bring something out of the bag and win the fight. You know, regardless of how you feel, get up, show up, and, you know, get the job done. And we'll talk about the problems later. So that's kind of like what you learn from Glenn Johnson. You know, he is a road warrior. He actually is a true warrior. And I'm actually glad that he's in my corner. And, you know, having Glenn Johnson in your corner opens a lot of doors for you. So that has also been a blessing in that aspect.
So one final thought, just to follow up. When you talk about that, one of the things he's taught you is that brutal mentality. I mean, you are so cerebral. There's so many other ways for you to make a living than by getting punched in the face. Now, Rafael, I understand that you're also punching the other guy in the face. But that brutal mentality, does that come naturally to you, or did you have to conjure that up and manufacture it and learn it?
The truth, when you start boxing, you come to realize that it's in everybody. You just have to need somebody to knock it over for you. You know, the brutality is in everybody, you know. What's his name? The guy who's with Stephen A, the boxing guy on ESPN. I forgot his
Max
name.
Max Kellerman.
Max Kellerman, he gave an analogy. He said if you come to a T-junction, there's basketball played on one side, there's football played on one side, there's tennis on one side. Or maybe there's soccer on one side and there's boxing. Where do people naturally gravitate to? You know, people gravitate to where there's a fight. So it's in everybody, you know, even if regardless of if you want to make it out on somebody or you want to watch it or be entertained by it, you know, everybody is naturally gravitated and inclined to violence. You just have to find a way to tap into it, either for a good cause, which is boxing, or for a bad cause, which is people on the street doing street fights. I happen to have tapped into it for a good cause and for an athletic cause and a cause that will probably bring benefit to me and millions of other people, you know, by me coming out in the ring and being successful.
Rafael Akpajuri is my guest. He is a heavyweight boxer. My man, that is one of my favorite conversations in quite some time. It is so good to talk to you. So great to have your story on this program. Let us make sure that you and I do that again soon. That was outstanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir. I appreciate the platform, sir, I appreciate your time.
Rafael, appreciate you very much. That was fascinating. What a great conversation.